Well, there's only one way you, Miss Amy, would have known what I was going to preach about tonight. I was reviewing it with Sharon coming to church, and we're going to study about this Holy Spirit tonight. And not something that I had planned, but I had gotten an email. And one of the things that I do, and it seems like to me that that's the way the Lord spurs me on. And truthfully, that's how I got started really studying the Bible, is because I had a friend of mine that was that I grew up with, across the street with, and we'd played ball together and all there in the neighborhood, and he got sucked into the Watchtower crowd, and I was trying to win him to Christ. And so I did more study, and that was where the Lord actually really started me studying the scriptures and trying to be a soul winner. And I just hadn't stopped, and that's been probably 35, 40 years, I guess, now. So we're going to study a little bit about the Holy Spirit. I got an email about somebody that doesn't know anything about the Holy Spirit, and she is, in ignorance, insulting the Holy Spirit. Dangerous thing to do. So let's go ahead and start with Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to cover a number of passages today. And the Holy Spirit is just as important in his work as Jesus and the Father are in their work. It was God's plan for you and I to get saved, to have an option to go to heaven. Jesus did his part by fulfilling the plan, but the Holy Spirit is the one that draws us to Jesus. Without you understanding your need for Jesus, you'll never come to him to get saved. And so, if Jesus goes to the cross, but you never understand it, or you're never drawn to him to accept him, it's no good to you at all. And so what we're going to study here right now is, I've heard all kinds of crazy things about the unpardonable sin. Well, we're going to study a little bit about the Holy Spirit and the unpardonable sin. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 31 and 32. Now, this is Jesus talking to the Pharisees. Let's look at verse 22 to start with, for context's sake. Then was brought unto him one possessed of a devil, with a devil, and dumb, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. See, there's hope for Hillary and Nancy Pelosi if they'll just come to Jesus, because he can heal their dumbness and their blindness. Amen. But anyway, it says, and all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan shall cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? But if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Now it's that context that Jesus is making this statement about what we call the unpardonable sin. Look at verse 31. It says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man," talking about himself, "it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessing and the way you watched over us. And Lord, I thank you for putting on Miss Amy's heart to sing about the Holy Spirit, and you laid on my heart to preach on the Holy Spirit. And you prompted me because this one lady needs to know about the Holy Spirit. She needs to know who He is. And Holy Spirit, I ask you not to hold it against her because she's been taught heresy. And I pray for you to help her come to Christ. Lord, we ask you to do something special in the message. Lord, we need to know more about your Holy Spirit. He's so, so important. He's the one that works in our heart. He's the one that convicts us. He's the one that guides us. He's the one that tells us what you want. And Lord, we need him to preach tonight. And keep the preacher out of the way. And in your will, in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I look at this particular passage, and one of the things that I see here is the fact that these people are actually accusing Jesus. See, they can't deny the fact that he's doing miracles. They can't deny that he's doing marvelous things and helping people. But what they're trying to do is they're turning this and taking this in the fact that, and they're saying that Jesus has power, but he has Satan's power. And it's satanic power that he's casting out devils. And I want you to get this. This is the context. I've heard a lot of people say that suicide is the unpardonable sin. That is not the unpardonable sin. Okay? What suicide does is it takes away your option to get saved. Okay? You can't get saved after you commit suicide because you killed yourself. Okay? And by the way, murder is a crime even if you murder yourself. Okay? So suicide is not the unpardonable sin. The heart, I know some people close to us. In fact, a Sunday school boy that committed suicide over a girl. And it has devastated the family. They had two children, one boy and one girl, and the boy committed suicide. And I can't imagine what the family goes through with that. And that's not my message, but it came up with the context. Because what the hard part about suicide is the fact that I've heard it said that suicide is a permanent problem or permanent solution to a temporary problem. Because if you go look through the Bible, and it a lot of times it says, "This too shall pass," and it came to pass, and that's what happens. Problems in our life come to pass. If you look back and try to figure out what your greatest difficulty was in 2019, you're probably not be able to remember, let alone to go back 2 or 3, 4, 5 years. But here, this is not suicide. What he's talking about is the fact that, and a lot of people don't understand, but the Holy Spirit is the one that draws you to Jesus.
He's the one, when you read the Bible, and it doesn't make sense to you, that's because you probably aren't saved and the Holy Spirit's not inside to enlighten you. That's what's going on with this, these people that contact me a lot of times. And we run into that knocking doors and people that'll argue with you about, you're trying to win them, your friends, your neighbors, your family, and people like that. You want to see them get saved, and they'll argue with you. They can't read. They read the Bible, and it doesn't mean anything to them. Why? The Holy Spirit's not inside. It's kind of like the fact that it's all in Greek, and you can't understand it because the Holy Spirit's got to be the one to peel it back, peel back the scales, so to speak, and shine the spotlight on it. But what you see here is the fact that they're accusing Jesus of casting out devils, but what Jesus is warning them about is when you insult or blaspheme the Holy Spirit, he's likely to just leave and never convict you again. Okay? Dr. Harvey, Brother Matthew's dad, taught a class on the Holy Spirit. One of the best classes I took at college. And it's neat to see, he used the illustration of a dove. He called at one point, I don't know whether he called or he got the illustration from somebody that raised doves. And remember when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came down and descended on him in bodily form, looked like a dove, or came down like a dove. There are some interesting similarities between the Holy Spirit and a dove. For instance, the Holy Spirit does not... He speaks just like a dove, with a still, small voice. And that's what the Bible says. Still, small voice. The Holy Spirit's not going to holler at you. He's going to get your attention. And the Bible says that it's going to be a still, small voice. It also says that he comes and he leaves and you don't even hear it. Just like a dove. A dove, real quiet when it flies in or flies out. But the one thing that bothered me about, or got my attention, I guess, about what Dr. Harvey said about the Holy Spirit was the fact that it's real easy to offend a dove. And it's real easy to offend the Holy Spirit. I read a book by... Probably one of the best books on the Holy Spirit I've ever read is one that called Meet the Holy Spirit by Jack Hiles. And one of the things he says in that, in the book, in the introduction, is the fact that when you come into a room, and if I was to come in and I'd say hi to everybody, but I left out Miss Sandra here, and I didn't say hi to Miss Sandra, she might take offense to that. If I just walked right on by and said hi to everybody else. Well, I want you to think about this. As Christians, a lot of times we focus on God the Father. And a lot of times we focus on Jesus the Son. But we have a tendency not to acknowledge the Holy Spirit like we should. Because I can tell you, none of us, not a single person on planet Earth, would ever get saved if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit drawing us to Jesus. But what Jesus is explaining here to the Pharisees and to the crowd is the fact that you are offending the Holy Spirit. He said, if you offend me or blaspheme me or say anything against me, that's what Jesus is saying. He said, it can be forgiven you. But if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, blaspheme is anything to contradict who he is or what he's doing. If you follow the scriptures throughout, you'll see that Jesus, by the Spirit of God, look at what it says a little farther up.
Look at verse 28. It says, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Who was it that they were really accusing? They weren't accusing Jesus. They were accusing the Holy Spirit. They were saying that Jesus was using the devil instead of the Holy Spirit to cast out these devils. Now think about that. If God does something marvelous in your life and answers a mighty prayer like getting your dad back from out of the country, and you get on your knees and praise Satan, it's no different than what they're saying. They're giving praise. They're saying Jesus is using the power of Satan to cast out these devils, when truly it's the power of God. And so what Jesus is warning them about, it has nothing to do with suicide or anything else. He's talking about offending the Holy Spirit in such a fashion that the Holy Spirit never bothers you again. And since you offend the Holy Spirit to that degree, it's the unpardonable sin, because He won't convict you of repenting. Therefore, you're doomed to die lost. See, one of the things that we need to understand is that there's nothing in this world that we can do in our own power. If we try to accomplish anything, hey, guess what? The Holy Spirit is the one that... Let's go there right quick. Romans chapter 8. I want you to write it down or underline it or mark it or whatever. Romans chapter 8. I love this passage. It also proves to me that people don't need to worry about speaking in tongues, among other things. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. What's your infirmities? The problems that you have, whether it be health or weaknesses or any of those kind of things. It says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. So how do you know what to pray for? Hey, you need to pray, right? We prayed tonight. How do we know? Why do we have a prayer list? Somebody's put something on our heart. One of the things that I get excited over when I see somebody get saved is they get burdened for their loved ones, for their family. And that's one of the things we ought to get burdened about. Who puts that burden there? The Holy Spirit. So it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Who makes the intercession? The Holy Spirit does. Get this. You've got a burden. We all have burdens. We all have troubles. When we get on our knees and pray and ask God to do this and do that for us, it's because we've got a burden. But the Bible says here that there are times in our life that we cannot even verbalize what we feel. I mentioned 30 years ago I had the asthma attack. That was a crazy year, because January, Sharon had a severe skin cancer and had to have it removed, and it went all the way to the skull. During the night, I got up.
I couldn't hardly pray. All I could pray is, oh God, I need your help. Oh God. And I'm weeping and crying and carrying on because I know I need God to answer my prayer. But I couldn't put words in and couldn't hardly speak the words. My burden was so heavy. But you know what happened? The Bible says right here in this passage, it says that the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Why do you need to speak in tongues? There are times you can't say what you need to say anyway. And guess what the Holy Spirit does? He takes that burden out of your soul, out of your heart, and he takes it and delivers it word perfect to the Son, to Jesus. And Jesus takes it and hands it to the Father and says, Father, this is one of mine. Hey, that's how it works. But what happens if you offend the Holy Spirit? Guess what? It doesn't get to Jesus. So you try to bypass, and a lot of people, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, they talk about, oh, Jesus is important and we can't get to the Father, but we have to pray to Jesus in Jesus' name. Hey, they believe in Michael the Archangel. They don't believe in Jesus. They just believe he's changed his name. But the situation is the fact that you and I need to realize we need the Holy Spirit. We've got to have him. There's nothing we can do without him. Go to John chapter 14. And anybody, and that's one of the things that the Jehovah's Witnesses have problem with, because they believe that the Holy Spirit is some mystical force. Impersonal mystical force. But Jesus says, and if you look at it, number of places, we'll see it here. Look at verse 18. Well, let's go to 16. It says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Now, I like that statement, another comforter. Who's the first comforter? Jesus. Who's the other comforter? The Holy Spirit. Said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you. How long? Forever. You ever noticed in the book of Revelation in chapter 22, the Bible says that the Spirit and the bride said, come. The Holy Spirit's with us forever. Guess what? Even through the tribulation time, when we're in heaven and the tribulation's going on here on earth, even down through the 1,000-year reign of Christ, even on into eternity, the Holy Spirit's still with the bride, still with us. But look at what it says. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, that's why there's so much discord in the world, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That took place on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down. Actually, Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit on them in John chapter 20. It says, and I will not leave you comfortless. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, and ye shall live also. Skip on down to verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. I always wondered exactly, and I knew it was a special thing that God did. All the writers, the people that wrote the scriptures,
How did they remember all these things? Because the Holy Spirit told them what to write. And he was the one that helped them remember. That's what the verse says right there. The Holy Spirit's the one that helps us recall scriptures. If we put them in, now he's not going to bring them back to us if we don't put them in. Your computer won't produce something you haven't put in the computer. But if you put it in the computer, the Holy Spirit will help you bring it back at the right time. Go to chapter 16. And this is something a lot of the Pentecostals need to learn. Verse 13, chapter 16 of John. Verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And look at the next verse. It says, he shall glorify me. Pentecostals think that, we're going to brag on the Holy Spirit. I got news for you. You brag on the Holy Spirit's nowhere around. You brag on Jesus, hey, that's the atmosphere the Holy Spirit likes to work in. But you brag on the Holy Spirit, he's not going to, hey, that's the way it works. Remember, Jesus didn't brag on himself. He pointed people to the Father. And what's the Holy Spirit do? The same thing Jesus did. Jesus pointed people to the Father, and the Holy Spirit points people to Jesus. Now, I'm saying all that to say this, and I've got so much more that I'd like to cover. I'm going to cover, give you a few things, just give you some. For you to ignore the Holy Spirit in Scripture, the term Holy Ghost is mentioned 89 times in the New Testament. The term Holy Spirit is mentioned 7 times. The Spirit of the Lord is mentioned 31 times. That's 127 times just from those three terms. Now, many times, Jesus calls the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of God and things of that nature. There are different natures, and there are times when the Holy Spirit's name is just the Spirit with a capital S. But for us to ignore the Holy Spirit and what he does, there are, I believe it's something like 30 times that the Holy Spirit's name is mentioned, just like that, or Holy Ghost, is mentioned in the book of Acts alone. So it's mentioned more than once a chapter, because there's only 28 chapters in the book of Acts. But think about it. It was the Holy Ghost that was the one that implanted Jesus in Mary. That's what the Bible says. Now the birth of Christ was on this wise: when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Okay? How important is the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost? I believe sometimes we might offend him by not calling him the Holy Ghost. But anyway, it says, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Luke 1:15. John the Baptist's father was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied in Luke 1:67 through 79. The Holy Ghost revealed to Simeon that he would see the Lord's Christ before he died. Luke 2:26. The Holy Ghost descended on Jesus when he was baptized. Luke 3:22. There's a number of other things here. Acts chapter 1 verse 2 says, after Jesus ascended to heaven, the Holy Ghost came and gave the commandments to the apostles. So not only did the Holy Ghost give Jesus, when Jesus left, the Holy Ghost took over their training, teaching them. Here's a passage that we don't mention much, but it says this is Acts chapter 1, verse 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Stephen said, He accused the people, and this is what he said to the people. This is why they stoned him, by the way. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. And I could go on and on. But there's one more passage. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 and 22 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. People say, oh, that's your interpretation. No, you and I don't interpret the Bible according to our interpretation. A literal interpretation means that that's God's interpretation. Okay? If they want to manipulate it and say, well, that really doesn't mean, like, kind of like some people, I watch them, they go come up to a stop sign, they don't even come close to stop. They interpret their Bible the same way. Stop don't mean stop, and thou shalt not don't mean thou shalt not. You know, and that's how people do. But that was verse 21. But look at the verse 22, 2 Peter 1:22. It says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men. Man did not write the Bible. They penned the Bible. God told them what to write, and so much so that the Holy Spirit took over their bodies to write it. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You can't understand the book. I remember, I'll finish with this. I remember Dr. Hiles was on an airplane one time, and there was this one woman, and she was reading a book, and she looked kind of puzzled and didn't understand some things. And so he leaned over and said, you like the book? She said, well, there's some things I don't understand about it. She said, well, maybe, or he said, maybe I can help you because I wrote the book. Hey, you want to know about the book? Talk to the author. Get him to help you. Let him know. Lord, I need your help to understand this. And there are times when you're in a situation that what you're reading isn't for you right now. There are times when I'll read something and it'll mean something to me right now, and then I'll read the very same passage 2 years from now and it'll mean something totally different. Why? Because I've grown spiritually to a point where it means something else to me, and it applies in a different fashion. But one of the things we want to do, we've got to do as Christians, we've got to beg the Holy Spirit to help us. We need His help. Jesus said, without me ye can do nothing. And how do we call on the Holy Spirit? How do we get our prayers answered? We've got to go through the Spirit to do that. People ask me how I knew. How is it that you understood that the Lord was going to call you to a state that started with an M? Only one way, the Holy Spirit. How did Miss Amy know what song to sing tonight? Only one way, the Holy Spirit. He's the one that needs to help us make our decisions. Without Him, we're going to be in trouble. Without Him guiding us. Truth is, and the last thing you want to do is to offend Him. Not a good thing to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your many blessings. And Lord, we ask You to move in the invitation. We thank You for so many things that You've done for us. And Lord, we just ask You to touch our hearts. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We can't thank you enough for him drawing us to Christ. Use the invitation for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.